Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Giannis for three. His third make tonight.
Welcome to the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, presented by Hupie and Abraham and featuring Steve Novak.
With a three. Oh, that may seal it right there. A big-time Brogdon triple.
Now, here's Steve Novak and the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Good evening and welcome. It is the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. We are broadcasting live down here at the Iron Horse Hotel. We are glad to have you, and we are inside Branded, which is the bar right inside the lobby area. If you want to come by and say hi, please feel free to do so. Also got Steve Novak on hand from Fox Sports Wisconsin, the Bucks analyst and my co-host for the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. How you doing, man?
Good.
You're doing good?
I'm doing good. 60 wins. There's still another game left.
All right.
We got Dante DiVincenzo in the house. I mean, very fitting on a night after the national championship. This guy's probably having flashbacks last night. But I'm doing great.
I was going to say, Dante, first of all, Dante DiVincenzo of the Milwaukee Bucks joining us here this evening. So, Dante, I got to ask you, what was last night like watching that game, knowing a year ago you were watching the confetti fly?
It was weird, honestly. It was a different feeling. I mean, two out of the last 3 years we were in that game. So not being able to be there, not being able to play is a little bit different.
Go ahead.
Just because I was thinking about you last night, knowing you were coming out today and watching that game. You were the magic man last year. Were you? It happened fast for you, right? I mean, was like – you have been a good player all your life, fine.
Yeah.
But what you did in the national championship last year, being the most outstanding player in the Final Four, that had to be a special time for you were you sure that you were going to the NBA, you were going to put your name in the draft before the tournament started?
Before the tournament started, I had the idea that I wanted to test just to kind of get to see where I stand and what I need to work on and everything like that. And a lot of the teams actually told me that once they told me, hey, you're going to be a first-round pick, they were saying you're not going to be a first-round pick because of what you did in the championship game. That was just what kind of got me on that platform, and that's what kind of got my name out there. And then once I got into the draft process, that's what they said. I kind of inched my way up.
So when they say what got you there, what did they tell you got you there? Just the outside shooting ability, or was there more to it than that?
Honestly, because I had a lot of workouts. I did 17 workouts. And I was testing still, so I had 20 days, and I had like some workouts where I went Atlanta, Brooklyn, and then Golden State, three workouts in 3 days. So I was flying all over the country and trying to get as much information, and they just said the way I was approaching every day, just defending and rebounding and being able to guard in multiple positions is what found them.
Did you know the Bucks were hot on you?
I did not until my pro day when Giannis came. Giannis came because his little brother is in our agency. So once I got to see him and we kind of chopped it up, and after that, I don't know whether he went back and said something or something, but they were intrigued right after that.
Giannis day. Made the pick.
You know, if you're going to fit with somebody, character-wise, you're going to see if you gel. If he comes in and goes, man, this guy is an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, right. You know, chances are you're not going to end up on Giannis's team. But, not to say that it was the stamp of approval, but he kind of gave you the stamp of approval.
I do think that is, you know, people talk about should NBA players, should the star guy have any say in who the pick is or who the coach is. And some people say, give me a break. He's the player. He should just play the game and leave it alone. But in the NBA,
at the end of the day, he's the one on the court with us.
So, he is, right?
Yeah.
And so I do. I think when there's a guy like Giannis or a guy like LeBron, it's not a bad thing when they have some say. Dante, exactly like you're saying, they're going to be your teammate. They're going to be on the court with you.
Sure.
I think to not involve those guys who you know are your franchise cornerstones, are going to, you know, be involved in every game, it's not a bad thing to say, I don't really like the way that guy plays, or that guy fits perfect. And I think some people sometimes think they're overstepping. But you have to think the NBA, right? The max player is making 30,
sure.
40 million a year.
For sure.
Sometimes you have to consider that.
And you got to think of also, like, there's so many situations where guys get drafted and then they don't fit. And the players, the main players on the team, like a LeBron or a Giannis, they don't mesh with those guys. And then they basically, like, lose a draft pick. So with him kind of filtering out that stuff and kind of finding out who meshes with who, it kind of deletes that step.
We're still talking about the Final Four, and then we'll move on. But what – because, Steve, you've been to a Final Four, and obviously, Dante, you've won it. So when you go back to a memory, what's something that sticks out most in your memory?
I actually was just asked this question the other day, and I had no idea. I completely forget the game. But
most guys say that.
I do.
You forget the game. You're so caught up in it.
They were like, "What zone were you in?" And I honestly don't know. I had no thoughts in that game. The only thing I do remember is Josh Hart, who plays for the Lakers. He was a teammate of mine for 2 years, and he was in like seventh or eighth row. And when I started to get going, he was like talking to me from the sideline. So after that, like every bucket I scored. That's what that wink was from. That wink that went viral, that was towards him. Like, me and him were going back and forth the whole game.
It's got to be. And that's why I was honestly thinking about you last night watching, because it's like Virginia wins, the confetti goes. There's like the – it looks like they have a drone view from the top, and there's like over 70,000 people there. But like you said, when you played in the game, you didn't even really know what was going on. No. It's kind of a blur. Was watching last night, did you realize there was 70, 80,000 people there watching and – just the what the confetti looked like when you guys won. It had to be kind of cool to see it maybe a year removed.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unreal feeling. When the confetti falls and your teammates are all running after and you're trying to hug everybody on your team, you don't get to see it from that view. And then you're watching from the couch last night and you see the guys running around trying to find each other, trying to hug each other. And I knew exactly what that feeling was like.
You know, I was going to say, do you like lean back and go, man, I should have enjoyed that more, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in the moment – the crazy thing is when you're watching it last night on the couch, I'm like, dang, I should have done this when we won, or I should have done this after we won. I should have celebrated this way.
Right.
But when you're in the moment, you have so many emotions going on.
And you can't go to somebody and ask them, how do I celebrate?
Exactly.
Because you haven't won anything yet.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
When we win, right? What should my celebration be?
You know, you can't be that kind of cocky about it. It's almost sacrilege to do that, right?
Yeah.
Superstitious-wise.
Yeah.
So fast forward to this season. So rookie season. I said between you and Pat, man, you guys had a heck of a combination coming off of the bench. It seemed like everybody contributed. It's a shame you go down with the injury, but what was your rookie season like in your eyes?
A lot of ups and downs. But, I mean, my biggest thing is keeping the right mindset, keeping the right mind frame, approaching every day. And that's what Giannis and Coach Bud have really preached to me. It's just every day just coming to work, whether you're playing 20 minutes a game or you're not playing at all, you're in the G League, you're hurt, whatever you do, try to be the best at what you can do that particular day.
And what, I guess, how much did Jay Wright help you in terms of, like you're saying, this has been a year that's been up and down. College, when guys talk about coming out earlier, staying, a lot of the guys that stay in the league for a long time, there are up and downs, but the ones that went to college a lot of times have kind of gone through things, have been coached. Jay Wright, I mean, what an amazing coach. What did he give you, teach you that's helpful this year?
He still talks to me now about being mentally tough. That's the biggest thing. And when I first went down with the injury, he texted me, said, you're going to be all right. Don't even worry about it. Just because he's challenged me so much in my 3 years at Nova, where he knows that I can get through anything and I'm going to bounce back and be completely fine.
What now, for those that don't know, explain what the injury is. Let's get into that first and foremost.
Yeah, so both of my heels, I have bursitis, which caused like fluid in my heel. But with that, there was a little bit of tendon issues where the Achilles tendon was fine, but the fibers in the Achilles tendon where it attaches to the heel were damaged. So I was playing on it, and when I was playing on it, the more I played on it, kind of the worse I made it. So then once they were cautious with me, like any competitor, I wanted to get back out there. So me being, in their eyes, me being 90%, I'm really my 70%. But kind of just the wear and tear of the body, not having really an off season. Cause like I said, I did 17, 18 workouts, whatever it was, and I went from the championship the next day working out. So I haven't had a time off.
That's true.
For almost like 2 years now. So,
yeah. So what is it? So first of all, what did they do to alleviate that? Let's start there. And then what do you do now? Just kind of rest and take it easy until the next training camp?
So I got it's called an amniotic tissue shot. It's two injections in my heel. It helps speed up the process of those fibers in the tendon, that tissue, and it takes down the fluid, increases the blood flow in there. So it speeds up the process, but with that, I have to be out I have to be shut down for a certain amount of time, and I can't run for a certain amount of time, and then it's kind of steps back. So.
Yeah, because the fear is that eventually you tear that if you don't treat it correctly.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like over time, if you play only 4 or 5 years and you're not treating it, you just keep
playing.
That's
painful, though, isn't it?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. It's not so painful during the game. It's afterwards.
Right.
It's after the game when you're sitting there and your feet are in the cold tub, and you're like, wow, this hurts.
Yeah.
And then it takes a certain amount of time for that pain to go away, but with this quick turnaround in the NBA, you can't go back-to-back with playing.
I had a friend of mine that had it in college, that played ball in college, and he would walk out of the cold tub like – they made fun of him because it looked like a girl.
Feet were up in the air,
yeah,
right?
Because you looked like a girl coming out after getting your toenails done.
That's what I did.
That's exactly what it looks like. You walk like that, it just hurts. Sure. He's like, I can't put my foot down, man. Yeah. It hurts so bad. It's like somebody stabbing in a ball your foot.
You can't go on your toes.
Or in the arch of your foot,
You have to stay on your heels.
We're broadcasting live down here at the Iron Horse Hotel, right inside the bar. Come on by and say hi. When you get inside the lobby, go to the right, and there we are. We're sitting here talking to Dante DiVincenzo of the Milwaukee Bucks. We're going to start to talk about the Bucks season, the playoff push, and everything upcoming. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Milwaukee Basketball Hour presented by Hupie and Abraham coming up right after this. Welcome back to the program. We are glad to have you. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Steve Novak. I am Bill Michaels. We are glad to have you down here at the Iron Horse Hotel. Come on by and say hi. We are in Brandon, which when you walk through the main door, you can come off to the right-hand side, and you're going to find us all the way in the back. But a packed house tonight. A lot of Bucks fans here tonight in anticipation of the postseason beginning this weekend. As the Bucks close out the regular season, they've gotten to the 60-win plateau and are now off and running as we're looking to get them out of the first round of the playoffs and then take that big, deep breath and then move on from there. Dante DiVincenzo in the house with us here tonight. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Hupie and Abraham. The injury report, call our friends at Hupie and Abraham, and they are voted best, rated best year after year after year. Mirotić right now, he's got the thumb, and we're hoping to get him back soon. Pau Gasol has the ankle, and obviously Malcolm Brogdon with the plantar fasciitis. Looks like maybe the second round he should be back. Dante is shut down for the season, as we all know. And that is brought to you by our good friends at Hupie and Abraham with the injury report. Again, voted best, rated best, year after year after year. All you got to do is call Hupie and Abraham. So, Dante, I got to ask you, the season, obviously, going from a team that you weren't a part of last year but didn't get out of the first round, was fighting to get into the postseason, was fighting to get into the top six. This year the expectation was just get to the top four and just get out of the first round. Expectations are completely blown out of the water now because people are saying Eastern Conference Finals are bust. Is that kind of the feeling or more inside your locker room right now? Nope. Did something happen? Oops, sorry about that. There we go. Go ahead. Try that.
Can you hear me?
There we go.
Cool. So honestly, the feeling inside the locker room, nobody's focused on how far we're going to go. Everybody's focused day by day, just getting better and keep playing the way we've been playing. If we keep getting better every day and approaching practice the way we approach it in training camp, then the sky's the limit for us.
Come on, now you got me muted.
I know.
You can get rid of us.
I
you
have
can just,
no idea what's
I mean,
going on.
We're
over.
At the bar, Bill. If
no,
you want
ahead.
Us gone, we'll go
no,
sit over
that's
here.
Okay. Serve us up here. That's what we'd like. Go ahead, Steve.
I forget what I was even going to say. Whoa.
It was something deeply insightful.
It was. it was. No, but we've heard the same message really from all the guys that have come on where it's been, like you said, Bill, really the expectation early in the year was the Bucks haven't won a first-round series since 2001. Yeah. Get one of the top four seeds and then see what can happen. And it really is, you're right, no one's talking about top four seeds anymore. The Bucks
no.
have been sitting at number one for a long time, but you guys have come on and been consistent with the message where it's not like no one said we have to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. We have to win 60 games. You guys have all been on the same page. Clearly, Coach Bud and you guys have communicated that it's about each day. And obviously, you've played long enough. You've heard the coach cliches and the coach speak where they say, one day at a time,
yeah.
keep learning, keep getting
better.
But
it's better. True. It's true.
But it's true. And I think, to watch you guys this year, to all be on the same page and to see how it's happened this year, it really has been a beautiful thing. And to hear it's, there's not some crazy goal. It's about today. It's about being better tomorrow. it sure has worked for you guys. It's been beautiful to watch.
How has Coach Bud helped you? I mean, because he came in and gave a breath of fresh air to a lot of guys that have already been here, but how has he helped you?
I mean, me personally, he's helped me a lot this year. Turns on the court, he's just pushing me, but he's also let me grow through mistakes. He'll pull me out and talk to me, but then also we'll watch film sometimes. And during the injury, he sat me down, and we had a heart-to-heart. We talked about my long-term career and what he thinks for me and what he hopes for me. He doesn't want me to risk anything for my health, just trying to push through for 1 year. So knowing that he's behind me and he's on my side is a great feeling.
Did they give you a specific role that this is what we're going to do with you as the season goes on, or is this just when your minutes are available, your minutes are available? We're just going to kind of go by feel.
I mean, it was interesting because early on in the year, I was like coming off the bench first. I was playing 20 minutes a game, and then it slowly started to decline. But they never told me I was doing anything wrong. They just said, hey, listen, like guys, there's the opportunity for guys, and they're taking advantage of it. And then things slowly changed. But there was nothing that I was doing anything wrong. There was nothing that I needed to do more. It was just, hey, listen, like you're a rookie. We can throw you in there. And when we throw you in there, you're giving us productive minutes. So that's all you can focus on.
Yeah. What do you need to work on? I mean, once you get back at it, after what you've taken away from this season, and now you get a feel for the NBA. It's a different game.
It's way different.
You know, it's way different. More physical, more up and down. And so what do you now need to work on? When you say, I have to go into the offseason and do this to get better, what is it?
Being more consistent. To be able to play with that first group, whether it's the first subbed in, that first unit, is you're not really handling the ball that much. Giannis has the ball a lot. Bled has the ball a lot. So you have to find ways to be productive off the ball and get your points and your rebounds and your stats other ways, but to have an impact on the game and just do that consistently. And then when you're with the second group, how to be more aggressive but also be under control.
And what, obviously, going from college to the NBA, yeah, you know, like you said, not having the ball in your hands is a little bit different. But what is playing with a guy like Giannis and being in practice with him, watching him in the games, what is something that last year when you were not on the team, you knew who Giannis was, you knew who special he was, but now being up close to him, watching him the whole season and practicing with him, what is something that's really stood out to you that makes him so special?
He's an amazing person. Honestly, it's like you look at him on TV and you see the mean face, you see the dunk, and he dunks on people and everything like that, and you have this image of him. But then when you're in practice every day with him and he messes up or he does something, you see something, he doesn't have an ego. You can go up to him, me being a rookie, I can go up to him and say, hey, listen, Giannis, you did this, blah, blah, blah. And he takes that, he looks at it on film, and then he applies it to his game, and that's something that's really unique.
The game of basketball is so different from what it used to be. It used to be hit the court, work on something over and over and over again, shoot 1,000 shots, and your day was done. It really is now a technique where you do what you need to do, and then you got to get in and look at it. And it's technique now more than anything, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we watch so much film, more film than I've ever watched in my life.
Who teaches you how to learn how to watch film? I mean, because there's a difference between college watching film,
yeah,
and coaches breaking it down, and you going and watching film, yeah, on your own, because you have to learn how to watch film and learn how to study.
For me personally, the assistant coaches, like you said, do an amazing job, but Bledsoe, I watch his film with him. So watching his film with him, I can kind of pick up on what he's looking at. And then when I watch my own film, I'm kind of looking for the same things.
You talked about that, Steve, last time we were together. You were talking about looking at a guy that's going to use a left hand, and every time he goes a certain way, you know what he's going to do. You're looking for isms. You're looking for tells, right?
No, you definitely are. And Dante, like you're saying, obviously, I imagine Jay Wright, he probably did watch some film, but
yeah,
I think it's kind of cool to hear Dante, to hear you say, right, in college we watched film. Obviously, you played for a great coach, but now in the NBA, there are these veteran guys like Giannis and like Bled that are going to be able to be these mentors and be these guys for you that can help shape your career, along with Coach Bud being willing to sit down with you and have those conversations and talk about big picture. Because, you know, I can think back to when I was with the Houston Rockets and I had an assistant, Andy Greer, who sat down and talked to me about, Steve, I want you to just understand kind of the window of opportunity that you have for you and for your family right now to put that work in and also look at things big picture.
Exactly.
And I know it's only your first year, and I know it's all still happening fast for you, but, you know, you'll think back probably to those conversations with Coach Bud and yeah, Giannis and Bled, and you'll be better for him. You're in a good spot, and I think that there's some guys that come into some spots that they think, oh, my goodness, I wish I could be somewhere else. So we're in a good spot in Milwaukee with some good vets right now.
What is it like bringing a guy like Pau Gasol in, George Hill? These are guys who've been there, done that. So what kind of wisdom do they impart? Do they get into that?
Yeah, Pau and George are they're awesome. They're amazing. Like on and off the court. I mean, I just speak for myself being a rookie. I'm the only rookie, so they go out of their way to make sure I'm involved. They go out of their way to make sure I'm comfortable and I'm learning. And they also just are teaching me the game. I'll sit on the bench with Powell and we'll just talk through the whole game and we'll talk about what coverage they're doing, how can we exploit that, and how can I get better when I go back on the court.
Do you see things as quickly as they do, or are you trying to?
Honestly, early on, I wasn't really looking for it. And now that I'm talking to them more, I can pick up on it really quick when I'm watching the games now. But before, it was just that lack of communication where I wasn't really talking to anybody about it.
I had a partner that when I first started covering the Packers, and I would sit next to, and he said they're going to run this, and sure enough, and I'm like, how do you see that? Because it's different from
George
college.
Is like that. George
that's
exactly
what I'm saying.
Like
George,
that.
I heard, is like that.
George is exactly. He'll call the play of what the other team's running. He'll be like, watch this. And he'll run exactly what he said.
So going back to what Steve said, Giannis is bringing the ball up. Other guys are bringing the ball up. How different is it being a guy that usually brings the ball up or is at least a part of that? Mm-hmm. And now you just kind of get down there and set up, you know, do your own thing.
I mean, for me, my job is to, like, make it easier for those guys. If there's a tough matchup for Bland and he's wasting a lot of energy offensively, I'm not going to make him go guard whoever it is on defense. I'm going to take my energy and let him get a break on defense so that he can do what he needs to do on the offensive end.
Well, and let's be honest, you're a shooter, baby.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I like letting that thing fly.
No doubt. So if you can't bring the ball up, I know you can find your spot in the corner and knock some shots down.
For sure.
And, you know, I think with this team, you've seen the value of knocking shots down. And so do you see yourself on this team, or do you think that you're capable of being that, going from that guy in college that really has the ball in their hands and kind of is the star, to really being able to be that role player where you can spot up, you can handle it in the pick and roll if you need to, you can run point, you can guard, or would you prefer, do you think, to just be in one of those roles?
No, I mean, I think that's what made me unique early on in the season, where Coach Bud could put me in a position where I was bringing the ball up, or I can be running off screens, or whatever needs to be done. He can kind of put me in wherever in the system, and I kind of figure my way out.
Did you get comfortable shooting the basketball in the NBA? It's different because guys get to you quicker, hands get into your face quicker.
It's different. My thing is more so slowing down. I'm fast on the court, but sometimes I speed myself up when I'm getting in my shot. So in workouts and in practice, I have great tempo to my shot. So sometimes in the game, I kind of speed myself up. But throughout the year, I've kind of been working on that, and I've been shooting the ball with it.
The one thing we hear over and over again is the camaraderie and the guys that it's kind of like from Giannis all the way down, from Bud all the way down. It's like this undeniable group. You know, talk about the team dynamic in the sense that, you know, there is no – it's like we've said it before. It's like you guys should just get into a town and rent a bus together because everybody just hangs out together.
Yeah, and I've talked to a couple of my former teammates, and they said it's not like that everywhere. And they said some guys just do their own thing, but this group is just so special. We're all together, like you said. We all hang out with each other. We go on the road. We all go dinner with each other.
Have they made you pay yet?
They have not made me pay, and I'm hoping they did not. To be honest, I was worried. One time we went out for a team dinner, and they all looked at me, and Giannis picked it up. Thank God. Because that was a big bill.
He should. Do any of the vets, obviously we've talked about how good they've been to you, do they have you doing any rookie duties, carrying their bags, or do you have any pink backpacks? Or
I mean, I have a pink backpack, but it's a Gucci bag, so I can't.
Did you buy it?
I did not buy it. John Henson bought it for me.
If you're going to have a pink Gucci bag.
If you're going to have a pink bag, if it's Gucci, you're all right.
And someone else has definitely got to buy it.
It's kind of like going to Victoria's Secret. If you just walk in there like you're owning, you're good to go. You know what I mean? Yeah. You just go in and say, look, it's not for me. I'm buying it for somebody that's really, really nice to me. We'll call it that. We are broadcasting live down here at the Iron Horse Hotel inside Brandon. Come on by and say hi. Dante DiVincenzo of the Bucks is with us. Also, Steve Novak is here. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour brought to you by Hupie and Abraham. Stay tuned. We got more right after this. Welcome back. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. We are broadcasting live down here at the Iron Horse Hotel inside Brandon. Come on by and say hi. I got to admit, the Pfister is one of the nicest hotels you are ever going to stay in, without a doubt. And I love that hotel. This is my one of my favorite hotels to stay. Steve, you ever stayed down here, man?
I have actually. When Marquette has all the guys into the summer for the throwback, the basketball tournament, and they have all the guys back, they put them all up here and have some meals here and This is a great spot.
This place is fantastic.
Yeah.
I've loved this place since they opened it. They do a fine job. This is actually where my wedding party stayed this past year.
Nice.
Everybody, all the
wait
pictures.
Wait till the weather warms up.
All the pictures out there in July were out there on the patio, man.
It's a great spot.
There you go. It's a fantastic place. Dante DiVincenzo, the Milwaukee Bucks, joining us here in the house tonight. Bucks postseason gets underway this coming weekend. We'll know the schedule. When do we find a schedule out? Tonight or tomorrow night? I think
Thursday, right?
Thursday?
I think Thursday, yeah. It's coming down to it.
40 games in 40 days?
Yeah.
They drag this thing out.
Oh, man. It's the best, though, isn't it? It's like the NCAA tournament is the best, and then the playoffs start, and that's
right.
The next level of – and it's a seven-game series.
As a Bucks fan, do you get the sense, Dante, the Bucks fans at this point, just get us to the postseason? I mean, you weren't here last year, obviously, for what went on against Boston, but for the last few years, it's been a while since they've seen the second round.
Yeah.
And like I said at the beginning of the show, the expectations have certainly risen, but it seems like Bucks fans are just like, just stay healthy, just get us to the postseason.
Yeah.
Let's just get this thing started.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because when I was in college, our little curse that we had was we couldn't get past the second round. And they always just said, just, hey, just get us to the tournament healthy and let's kind of get past the second round. And that's the same exact feel that we have here. It's like, get us to the playoffs, make sure we're healthy, and let's go.
How are guys this season? Steve, you're in the locker room as much as anybody. So how are guys? We know that Giannis has had the ankle issue. But the guy still wants to play. I like the fact that Pat Connaughton, who filled in for you, a week and a half ago, Pat goes down with the ankle injury. Gets up and looks over to the bench, and Giannis nods as if to say, I play. And then he kind of nodded back like, all right, I'll hang in there, which was really cool. But I'm thinking, guys are banged up this time of year. You really don't want to be playing too much. You want to be able to get your rest and get yourself ready for the postseason.
And that's the thing, but, like, not many teams are practicing. I mean, I know for us, our practice is more so of taking care of our body and kind of getting better with film at this time of the year because there's so many games that are going on that you don't want to go out there and compete against each other and get hurt and not be able to play in a game.
Well, and I feel like this last three-game homestand, like you're saying, there's three games at home. The Bucks are locked into one. You know you can't move.
Exactly.
And there is almost this, okay, we said we wanted to be top four seeds, but we're already locked in at one.
Locked
in
at one, the best record in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, it's done.
And everybody I talk to, everyone I say, how about this team? They're looking pretty good right now. And they all do. They say to me, well, we just got to win in the first round first. We just got to win in the first round. Now, if this was a team that had been to the Eastern Conference Finals year after year, I don't think it would be, we just got to get out of the first round. But this is not the same team, obviously, that there's been with the Milwaukee Bucks for the last 15 years. But you have to understand it's not been seen here in so long that everybody's a little cautious. Let's get to the first round, see what happens. But I think if you've been watching, this team is ready for more in the first round.
We were talking this morning with one of the NBA writers from ESPN, and I was asking him, I said, Eastern Conference Finals are bust for the Milwaukee Bucks. And he said, I'm one of the only people saying, hold your rein right here. He said, they haven't been out of the first round, even though this is a different group of guys and a new coach. He said, you got to earn it. You got to prove it. And it's a completely different game in the postseason. So – with that being said, does that leak in to a locker room to say, we still have doubters, we still have people that don't believe that we can do what we're supposed to do or what we're projected to do?
No, honestly. Honestly, no. None of us really watch the whole sports shows and ESPN where they're talking. We hear about it from other people in the office, and they're saying, hey, listen, like they're saying that we're not going to go this far or whatever. But everybody's worried about everybody in the locker room. Everybody's worried about one another. Nobody's worried about what the naysayers are saying, whatever. And everybody just wants to keep getting better and keep playing for as long as possible. That's the thing is, like, everybody wants to be together for as long as possible as we possibly can this offseason.
With the offseason being so long and being drawn out where you don't play back-to-backs and you couldn't sit for 2 days or 3 days, is there any, like, team rituals, any team rhythm, anything you guys it could disrupt?
I don't know what they did last year.
Okay.
But
hey, as long as you're winning now, that's all we care about.
Yeah. this year, like I said, it's all taking care of our body and enjoying each other. They keep it very lighthearted in the locker rooms and at practice, and everything's stress-free. So when guys get on the court, they're ready to go. So we've had stands where we had 2-3 days before a game, and the first day we'll do just for our body, and then we'll come in for practice and just kind of have fun. And everybody will be laughing and joking, and then we'll do our scout film, and everybody focuses up.
So what do you do for fun?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I play a lot of video games.
Yeah?
Yeah, I play a lot of video games. I'm trying to learn how to golf.
Now, are you at home?
I'm learning. I'm not that good, but I'm learning.
Where are you going? Who are you learning from?
I was learning from Deli, but.
Okay.
Yeah, not anymore.
Well, most shooters, though, with the hand-eye coordination, you said, most shooters, longer, lanky bodies, you're usually pretty good. You guys should be able to rope a ball pretty good, 300 yards.
You should see some of the guys' swings on the team. They're awful. They're awful.
Charles Barkley has the worst. Worst NBA golfer I've ever seen in my life.
There's always a couple guys on a basketball team that'll shock you. You're like, wow, they're like a five handicap. And then a couple that you think would be so good, you're like, oh, they're tall, they move well on the court.
Anything over 6'8", never golfs well. Just an FYI.
I can tell you, Pat can really hit the ball, though.
Pat's a natural. And he played baseball, so he's kind of got that hand-eye.
We always have this argument of, like, who's better at something, me or him. And we go through a whole list of things, and we argue back and forth about it.
We could probably do a whole show on that.
I was going to say, who do you know what we should do?
Pat or Dante?
Is have you and Pat, like, on the round table.
Yeah.
And an upcoming show during the postseason.
For sure.
And we can just put the headsets down. Steve and I can go sit out front. We'll just hold up cue cards. Who's better at this?
Exactly.
Right. You know?
And we'll go back and forth for a whole show.
That would be fantastic.
It would be even better to see you guys both out on the court. I can picture Dante, you in one corner, Pat in the other corner, and then they can start the competition. Like, who can make more corner threes with Giannis and Bledsoe driving, kicking the ball? I feel like that can maybe, but we can start that next year.
Exactly.
One of the plays that stick out to me when both you and Pat were on the floor was you had come back from injury. Pat was just back, and you went flying. It was a rebound. I think you were at the Fiserv Forum. You went flying over the top, slapped the ball back into bounds to Pat. Now, I don't know. He didn't end up putting the drop in the shot. But at that point in time, with what he was doing on the floor, and you went over people to get to the – you remember this? You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember.
It was a highlight reel,
man. It was Indiana.
Indiana. Thank you very much. It was in Indiana. And it was – I tweeted it out. I said, these guys are ballers. This isn't just like your NBA game. This is diving on the floor, NBA hardcore basketball. This is like going back to college. Remember when Crean used to put the tube on top or the lock on top of the hoop? Yes. And you used to go out and just beat the hell out of each other in drills. That's what this was like.
We did that.
I bet you did.
We did that.
Yeah.
Any good college coach puts the lid on the rim and it calls it war and makes you wear football pads and you're not really sure how you still have all your bones intact. But
exactly.
Any good college coach,
but that's
coach,
what this was like. You don't see that very often in the NBA. At that point in time, that was kind of like, okay, dude's for real.
Yeah, and the thing that's unique about our team is we can be up 25-30, and they put some of the bench guys in, and we're still playing as if we're starters. Everybody's trying to – not that we're trying to do more than what we need to do, but everybody wants to win, and everybody wants to compete for the guys that were just on the court.
There is really no holding people back.
No.
You know, I mean, people will get a misnomer of, well, just take it easy. If you don't win, who can? That's not it. Once you hit the floor, you know, you're thinking of everything. You're thinking of playing for your team. You're thinking of playing for yourself. You're thinking contracts down the road, people that are watching, your peers that are sitting at home paying attention to this. And God knows you don't want to be a poster for somebody else.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. Nobody wants to bank ESPN for the wrong reason.
Right.
No, you know?
For sure.
You don't want to be on the receiving end.
I made it.
Listen, no. The truth.
Who'd you make it again?
We're not going to get into that right now.
Right. He's like, I'm not going to call myself.
Somebody was on top 10 plays, but I wasn't the one with the ball. So.
No. You know what, though? I'll say something about top 10 plays. There are a lot of guys on those highlights that are big-time players now, right? I mean, you get the guys like Alex Len, right? He's always trying to block every shot.
Yeah.
Giannis dunks on him every game. If the Bucks play Detroit in the first series, Blake Griffin, if he plays, or Drummond, they're both going to get dunked on, right?
Yeah, it happens.
But if you're not getting dunked on and you are a big fella, there's no respect, right? You got to go up and block shots. You saw Giannis try to run down my man, forget his name, in New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he dunked it, and Giannis, he had no chance, but he tried.
With that, it's the same thing. Like, he didn't get that block, but then Jason Tatum's on the fast break, and Giannis covers from foul line, and he blocks him trying to dunk at the rim. So, like, you're going to get dunked on. You're going to get crossed up. It happens in a game. They're the best athletes in the world.
Well, I like the fact that they go back and forth, him and Embiid.
Yes.
You know, both guys dunked on one another, and they made the highlight reel that night.
And that's, I think that's great. But obviously our culture is like, put them on blast, put them on top 10.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as guys who play, you go, if you're getting dunked on, if you're getting made to look a fool, a lot of times you're getting crossed or you're falling or you're breaking your ankle because you're actually trying to get out here and guard James Harden.
Exactly.
And he's going to make you look bad every once in a while.
I know you're both are going to be biased to this, but I'm biased in your favor. A dunk is great. anybody over 6'9 that can't dunk a basketball, that should be a highlight.
What just happened?
But what I'm saying is I respect a three from the outside with time winding down, with somebody right in your face and a hand flying at you and a guy that'll hit you as you release. That, to me, is probably the more pressure shot than just powering up over a guy. Not to say that dunks aren't a good part of the game.
That's tough, though.
Well, but look, I only could do one, so you're going to have to have Dante because he can dunk and can shoot threes, right. So maybe you can speak to which one you prefer.
I think it depends on the situation in the game. Last second for game, taking a three. That would probably be cool. But if, like, and you're in the flow of the game in second quarter or something like that, when you get contact with somebody and being able to and dunk on them, that feeling's indescribable.
Okay. Well, like, I've only dunked three times in my entire life. So.
Me and you both, Bill.
And once of them was at my house when I lowered the rim. You know, I have to go back to high school to figure that out. So you enjoy that. Don't have that leaps like you do. We are broadcasting live down here at the Iron Horse Hotel. Come on by and say hi. We're inside Brandon. Another segment coming up. This portion of the program has been brought to you by our good friends at Hupie and Abraham. Also, Baker and Tilly. Our friends at Cousin Subs as well. Green Bay Legends, Cruz Bear, Private Wealth Management, and also Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of Wisconsin. Don't forget, the Green Bay Legends Cruise invites you to join them on the second annual Legendary Tailgate at Sea Adventure. And they've got that going on where you can cruise to the Bahamas with your favorite Green Bay football legends. Visit greenbaylegendscruise.com today. Use the promo code BLAKE10 for 10% off. And don't forget, you can find everything regarding the program over on the social media aspects. Facebook, it's MKE B-Ball Hour. Same thing with Instagram. Same thing with Twitter. All that kind of good stuff. MKE B-Ball Hour. Find all the pictures and all the commentary there. Final segment coming up right after this. It's the final segment of the Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Steve Novak. I'm Bill Michaels. It's presented by Hupie and Abraham. Dante DiVincenzo of the Milwaukee Bucks joining us here on site. We're down here at the Iron Horse Hotel. We can't say thanks enough to the staff and management here. They're fantastic. I love this place. Don't forget Thursday night bike night coming up again this year. And this is obviously a biker-friendly, a pet-friendly hotel. So if you've never been down here on a Thursday night, especially for the outdoor patio, man, oh, man, oh, man, beautiful place and a lot of fun out here. And talking about the postseason as the Bucks get ready to get into the postseason, into the playoffs. Reminder, next week, once the schedule for the postseason is announced, we will be at Rare Steakhouse on Michigan. You can check out the Facebook page for the updates based upon the playoff games. And, again, the Facebook page, simply facebook.com/MKEBballHour, MKEBballHour, and you can find us there. And then we'll let you know what time and where and guests and all that kind of stuff. But I still say we got to get you and Pat together and just do a round table. We got to bring like 3-4 guys.
I think it'd be good. And
that'd
especially
be fantastic.
If we could do a little competition like that. We could have mini golfing. We could have them do a papa shot. We could have them.
We could Pat's have them not beating me.
In what? In papa shot?
In any of it.
In any of it.
See,
yeah.
See?
It's,
yeah.
It's every time. Who's got better leaps?
He's not even here to defend himself.
Yeah, he can't. I'm not going to do that because Pat's not here to argue that.
He kind of did the same thing. What was it, a week and a half ago when we had him at Bel Air Cantina? He kind of said the same thing. He said, "Well, we'd have to do it once you're healthy again."
Exactly.
So you're not going to lose any leaps over the injury, are you?
No.
Okay.
I'm not.
It sounded to me, look, he sounded like got a couple injections. I got this. Some of them got a little massage on my heel. All I heard was like a little bit faster and jump a little bit higher.
Exactly.
If he would have added in, "Oh, and I went to Germany," I would have gone, okay, now I know.
Now, yeah.
I know the deal.
Yeah,
now.
You're good to go. So how long are you down for? Before you can start doing anything
again. So the injection was like a week and a half ago. 2 weeks where I'm not allowed to basically do anything. Just walk around is the only thing I'm allowed to do. And after that, I'm able to start PT for a couple weeks. And then about 5 to 6 weeks, I can get on the court but do little things. And then after the eight-week mark is when I can really start ramping it up.
Is there a process to the healing? Is it just simply rest, or is it then once it rests you have to stretch them back out again to start kind of getting that feel back? Or
it's keeping a lot of it stems from the calf. There's two calf muscles and one can get really tight that's underneath, and that's what causes the heels to kind of take more force. So it's keeping those loose but also strengthening them at the same time. So it's kind of like a fine line of, all right, we're gonna need to increase the weight on certain exercises today, but then all right, tomorrow we're going to need to really back it off and you're not going to be able to do anything.
Is this something that once you're healed, you're healed?
Yeah, that's what they said. They should.
It's not going to recur or anything?
No, they
like
say
that?
They can get it out the way.
Okay, because that's one of the biggest questions when you're talking about tendons, especially tendons that begin to fray a little bit if you don't get them to regenerate properly.
Yeah. They said they caught mine without they caught mine soon enough.
Was this something you had in college?
No, honestly. Like when I would tape sometimes in college, there wouldn't be the same pain. It was just I didn't like taping my ankles in college. I hated it. And our trainer in college taped them as tight as he possibly could.
Right.
He's an old school guy. So
now,
like,
was this where the blue foot came out of the shoe at the end of the game? Because I remember those.
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't feel your toes.
No.
Everything was blue. No. You thought you're going to lose something.
In college, when we got our ankles taped, we came back to the locker room. We had to sit there for a minute before we started moving. We had to get that little tape cutter and kind of slid a little thing in the side just to relieve our pressure.
Just to loosen it up.
You
got to
get to the league before you really start getting the good trainers that actually understand. They're cutting off a little circulation.
If it looks like they ask you, how do you want it today? Is it tight enough? Or you want it a little looser? I'm like, really?
Really? Yeah. Do you have a menu I can choose?
You don't look like a snossage casing, where it's oozing out the top and out the bottom. That's when you realize it's too tight.
That's
too
the
tight.
Worst.
Yeah. So, obviously, you guys are getting ready for the postseason, and this team has opened a lot of eyes this year and a lot of national recognition. Who's been when you talk to guys around the league, when you get a chance to kind of meet some guys – a lot of guys, I want to say respectful, supportive of what is going on in Milwaukee?
Yeah. I think a lot of guys have the image of we have something great going on here. And that's what kind of been the general consensus is whatever you guys have going over there, it's special. That's what a lot of guys say is just be thankful that you walked into that position, that you're in that situation, you're with that group of guys, and you're with that coaching staff, because it's not like that everywhere in the league.
And I remember meeting you, I think it was maybe right when you had your press conference after you'd been drafted here, and your mom was here, and your dad, your brother John, he was here. How are they doing? Have they gotten to Milwaukee? Have they got to see you play much?
Yeah, so when we were in Philly, they all came. And then my brother, my sister-in-law, and my little nephew were all out here this past weekend. So it was really cool having them out here.
Well, coming out for the playoffs?
Yeah, my whole family would be out here.
Okay.
And now the weather's warming up here. He's going to have to start hosting. Summerfest is coming. You're going to have the whole family. You said you're going to get a new place.
They're visiting. They're not staying.
Uh-huh. That's not what happens.
You know what, though? So when you're drafted by Milwaukee, people say you're going to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. What's the reaction? Because it wasn't always good. And now with the facility you have and everything that's going on in this city.
Well, honestly, because we played here in college. So when we played Marquette, we came out here. And we didn't think there was anything out here. And then when I got drafted, that was my initial reaction. Then I came out here and spent a week here before I went back home. And I just got to do everything. I kind of got to just go around the city. People were showing me everywhere to go, where to eat. And now it's like I love Milwaukee.
How different?
It's way different. And people are like, "How do you like it out there?" I'm like, "You gotta come visit."
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you been here for like Summerfest? And
I went as soon as I got drafted. Last summer I went.
They usually take guys down there,
and then you end up at
one point or another out at State Fair.
Yeah.
Which is another place that they take everybody out to Herb's Milk House out there and yanking on cows and everything like that.
Hey, look, if you're going to play in Milwaukee, you got to work at the Milk House at the State Fair. First you get drafted, then you go to the State Fair, then Summerfest.
Right.
So while we got a couple of minutes as you guys head into this postseason, is there pressure? Do you feel any pressure by people saying, can they get out of the first round?
I don't think – I mean, just by talking to the guys, I don't think there's any pressure. I think, like I said, our mindset is just focused on getting better every day, and that kind of takes care of everything else.
Did you ever get a sense that guys were like, just let's get to the postseason? Or was this just like –
No, because we enjoy being with each other. We enjoy going to practice. We enjoy doing the little shooting competitions. Like, we enjoy being in the office every single day.
So there's nothing like – because I know we had talked about goals and you really don't set them, but to get to 60 wins is a big deal.
Yeah, and that's what Coach came in and was like, listen, like, I know we're focused on what we need to do, but like, just take a step back and realize what you guys just did this season.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like at the game. It almost felt like everybody who's been watching knows 60 wins didn't do anything for you guys.
Yeah.
But once that game started and it was 59 and it was like, all right, last game, probably want to rest some guys or not have it maybe matter.
Yeah.
You could feel the fans were kind of like, I think we want 60.
Yeah.
And so then hearing that Coach Bud had come in and kind of said, hey, fellas, it wasn't a goal, but it's pretty cool that you guys had 60.
Look what you just did this season.
With Oklahoma City being the final remaining game on the docket, is it the hump to get over? Is it 61? Is there same tenacity, or do you look at it any differently?
I think this one is to stay healthy. honestly. Okay. We locked up everything, got 60. We did everything you needed to do this season. Let's get to the postseason.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans are right there.
Get to the postseason, baby. 60 wins.
What is it like? Yeah. Because you just had Marcus Johnson and a lot of the historical Bucks that were here and have been in town. What is it like with a lot of the guys that played for this franchise when they come into town and say, man, guys, you guys are doing something that hasn't been done here?
I mean, it's cool because you're looking at some like Hall of Famers, and they come in there and they talk to you. And at first, you're in awe of just talking to them and having a conversation with them about basketball, and then they're respecting what your team is doing for their whole year, and it's really cool.
I thought it was really neat that they, for Marcus Johnson's jersey retirement, they came out of the tunnel early,
yeah,
out of halftime early to have everybody out there to kind of see that and appreciate that. When you got some of those historic guys sitting on the court that are right, especially near those guys. I mean, come on.
For sure.
Beasts. No, Hall of Famer beasts.
And then a lot of the credit belongs to these guys. There's a lot of former players that want to come back right now. Yeah. People are talking about, hey, have you seen the Bucks lately? I remember when you were one of the greatest players in Bucks history, and they're like, yeah, I think I'm going to call the Bucks and see if I can get some tickets and go check these guys out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's true. I mean, these guys deserve a lot of credit for the buzz that you guys have created. And like you said, one more game, but let's get to the postseason, baby. I think we're ready to.
Right. I can't imagine what that building, for the criticism it's taken for being kind of quiet, and it's not.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that building's going to be like come this weekend.
Oh, it's going to be insane.
It's going to be off the hook.
In the building is going to be one thing. I'm just telling you, with the plaza, with the entertainment district around it, there's probably going to be like 50,000 people outside in those bars. That place is going to be rocking. Yeah. We're going to be doing the post-game shows and the pre-game shows out in that plaza. It might be even crazier outside.
This portion brought to you by Baker Tilly, the accountants and advisors with five offices throughout Wisconsin, and they are here to assist you in your business, all your needs. They can take care of it. That is our friends at Baker Tilly. Got to say thanks to our sponsors, Hubie and Abraham, Baker Tilly, as I had mentioned, Cousin Subs, Green Bay Legends Cruise, Baird Private Wealth Management, and Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of Wisconsin. Dante, best of luck to you, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We're quickly in and quickly out. Steve Novak alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. Everybody down here at the Iron Horse Hotel, thanks for being a part of the program. Thanks for coming out. Don't forget our next one at Rare Steakhouse on Michigan next week. Rare Steakhouse on Michigan. Check us out on Facebook for all the times and schedules. Time for us to go. Have a going. Trip.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.